umpire sitting here. We'll let you know how you
Okay, Mayor, members of council, my name's Seth Jensen, Director of Municipal Utilities. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to come in and present our proposed budget for next year. John West and Jeff Sikora are here tonight. Tom Gayback, unfortunately, is just finishing up a job out in the field, so he gets a night off. So what are we, and or what do we do, and what do we serve? You know, Municipal Utilities oversees three primary funds. It's the Water Fund, Sewer Fund, and Power Utility Fund. Within the Water Fund, there's two main budget lines. There's the Water Filtration Plant budget line, Water Maintenance Department budget, and then water billing is split between Sewer and the Water Fund. 50-50. And then in our sewer fund, we have the sewage treatment plant and the sewer maintenance department. In our power utility fund, the primary amount of cost is for our hydroelectric facilities, upkeep and maintenance, and our landfill gas to energy facility still remains closed and is a very small budget each year. One change, primarily because of the closure of that facility, is we used to manage the methane gas collection facility at the landfill. We're switching that over to all over to Mike Talbot in the landfill fund, as we really no longer needing to maximize methane generation from the landfill. So I think for the most part tonight, the theme is we're pretty much holding the line with our budgets, in my opinion. Our water filtration plant is basically a 0% change this year. It's a little bit of a negative change. Even with the addition of 0.5 FTE, that 0.5 FTE is a shared full-time position with the wastewater treatment plant budget, and that's technical director of municipal utilities position that I proposed in this budget based on some discussions that I've heard on the floor from council, and certainly some need for additional high-level capacity in our department to continue to maintain and push large capital projects and highly complicated operational budget projects through each year. In our water maintenance department, again, just a very, very slight increase to the overall budget this year. However, we, too, in this department are looking to add one full-time position as well. This would be an entry-level laborer position, and I'll discuss a little bit more about what that position will be assisting with, or we're proposing that it will assist with in future years, as well as this coming operating budget. And then in our water billing department, although it's not much of a financial increase, it looks like a large percent in change. This is to fund that the census analytics additional package for our customers to be able to use the online portal and manage their water billing accounts online. So that's really the substantive change there. So I touched on this a little bit with the first slide, but I'll go through some things a little bit quicker than others. Our water filtration plant budget continues to maintain the $150,000 towards watershed inspection, which was up last year. It was $125,000 2 years ago. We increased it last year to $150,000, so that's proposed to maintain steady at $150,000. I mentioned the 50% salary for the technical director of municipal utilities. This budget will complement a lot of our ongoing capital projects and operational upgrades, as well as provide funding to finish up our pole barn maintenance garage. And one of our larger costs this year is some additional lab analysis that's required. Is it every 4 years, John, plus or minus, by the EPA? So we have a good chunk of additional dollars going towards analytical sampling this year with that. Our water maintenance department, again, I mentioned there's an addition of a laborer position. This is primarily to implement a full-scale hydrant repainting program. It's been one of those things that I've noticed over the years. Our hydrants have really started to look a little bit rough out in the field. So I wanted to begin to take care of that. Our crews are already so strapped that we just don't have the in-house capacity to do that, as well as this position will also complement the lead service replacement grant program, which will be rolling out over the next couple of years as well. So in addition, there's funding for partial paving of the Logan Street parking lot, which is the maintenance garage for water and sewer. And it also includes some support dollars for the ongoing requirements to continue that GIS implementation project and ensure that that continues to succeed in this department. As for the water billing, I mentioned the new online profiler. That's approximately $25,000 increase to the budget. I do anticipate, however, if council approves an additional user fee for this as a one-time setup, cost of maybe $25 to $50. We're kind of still going a little bit around and around back and forth on a dollar amount, but that would certainly almost offset the total cost of the program through revenue of that for a one-time setup charge. So something to contemplate. As for the rest of our fees, there's no adjustments to our fees with the exception of maybe adding this additional line item if this goes through as an adopted or an approved item to put into the budget for next year. So again, in our sewer fund, we're, in my opinion, holding the line, 0.4% overall increase to the sewer fund. And again, doing that with the addition of full-time staff at our wastewater treatment plant. Now, one of the full-time staff is coming from that landfill fund, where at one point in time we were up there probably, you know, we had two full-time mechanics splitting half of their time at the wastewater treatment plant, half of their time up at the landfill tuning up the gas wells and trying to get that cogen running. So we're proposing to move that back to wastewater, and that's where they were originally before they were kind of split, and it's already starting to pay dividends. We're getting a lot more done at the plant with the assistance of more presence with our maintenance mechanic positions being there. And then the other half of FTE is for the split cost on the technical director of municipal utilities. So the sewage treatment plant budget includes, in addition to the full-time equivalent increase in staffing, a match for the NY Alert CSO grant, which is still ongoing. It includes funding to continue to remove the failed concrete at our ORF tank. I don't know if you guys remember from last year, we were talking about trying to do it all at once, and then that scaled back, and we decided, okay, we're going to start to try to incrementally take sections of this concrete out in budget cycles so that it's, you know, not a huge project, something that we can handle in-house. And we've gone through the process of getting all of the prices in at this point for the first phase. We're just kind of waiting towards a little bit later in the budget cycle just to make sure that we have the funding available to pull the trigger and do that work. And then we'll be looking to refund that again next year and do additional removals at our overflow retention facility of this failed concrete that sits above these tanks. So, you know, this isn't really an operating budget item, but I just wanted to point out that the bond authorization will certainly require a lot of attention of our staff over the next year, working with consultants and vendors, and eventually coordinating with construction of our new UV system at the wastewater treatment plant. So thank you for that authorization. We look forward to implementing that project this year. Again, there's always a need to refund or restock parts, and parts aren't cheap, so there's, you know, typically a fairly substantial dollar amount that we continue to carry over each year to continue to restock parts and inventory so that we're able to react in time of crisis. And this year we're looking to do a little bit of site restoration, a little site paving out back where the plant was built back in 1995, and there's a lot of potholes and failures of the top layer of asphalt at this point, so it needs a little bit of attention before it completely falls apart. And then also there's budget to provide some additional professional services with respect to the state clean water SRF and our air permitting that we do in conjunction with the landfill, as well as one item here that I've kind of been thinking about for a while and like to move forward with if we can, is to do a full-scale electrical audit of the whole wastewater treatment plant. There's, you know, there's like three different phases of plans, a lot's changed. It's just to get all that, all those electrical drawings as built in one location, so we're not cross-referencing, especially when it comes to electricity. So it scares me, so I want to know exactly how it works. In our sewer maintenance department, again, there's a little bit more of an increase here, but most of that is in staffing, actually, because the sewer maintenance department went through a transformation over the last year and a half with the unfortunate loss of one of our coworkers, and as a result, there was some movement between the water and sewer departments, and a lot of the seasoned veterans in the city of Auburn moved into the sewer department. So the expense to pay those salaries went up quite drastically. So actually next week you'll see a request for a budget transfer to help that, because we plan our budget process so early in the game. You know, it's almost a year and a half that goes by from when we're setting some of our budget numbers, like salary lines. So that's one of the major increases there. And then we're also including some things like trying to help out the annual road program with frames and grates, manhole covers, to actually purchase them for the road program, as well as money to replace the sewer TV van from 1994. I asked Tom Gaback to take a picture of it for me. I didn't include it in the presentation, but he sent me this picture, and it's got holes in the side of it, and then the weather stripping is like hanging down, dangling. I'm like, I thought that maybe he posed it, but he said as soon as he opened the door, the weather stripping just fell and hit the guy in the head. So it was a legit picture. And then again, in the sewer maintenance department, we're going to spend a lot of time working with getting that GIS project up and moving on the sewer side of things. Okay, so power, utility, and landfill budget. Again, looks like a big number, 6.1%, but it's really $7,000. Most of that is going towards electrical costs and operation costs of a new facility. No change in staffing. At our landfill gas energy facility, we maintain that at $5,000. That dollar amount gets completely offset by the sewer fund. We pay $5,000 for storage, and we use that facility for storage right now. And then I mentioned with the methane gas utilities, the switch there, and the FTE isn't actually a removal of an employee, it's a movement to the wastewater treatment plant. So one other thing to note on the hydro facilities, I did add additional funding to help provide some high-level electrical and mechanical specialty contract work for this year. To go through and ensure each one of our facilities gets top-notch maintenance this year, and it'll be like our first year maintenance for the hydro project at North Division Street. I think it would be good to offer that as additional training for our staff, as well as just to triple check to make sure everything operated well over the last year and there hasn't been any major degradation of any of our components. So that's one big thing that we're going to be looking at. And then one item that we might add, and I'm not sure yet if it's necessary, is if we have the funding available, and is it, we do continue to run into some issues with our trash rack at North Division Street, but it's nothing that's too bad. It's just an operational adjustment that we may be able to do to put in a larger rack spacing for certain times a year that will decrease the amount of maintenance we need to do, because the debris will actually be able to flow through. The more debris you can get through a trash rack, the better, without it being too big that it actually causes damage. And right now our rack spacing is really, really tight there, and it was a requirement of the state to keep it that way until just a few months ago, when I was able to figure out a way to do kind of a seasonal larger spacing, which might really help us out, especially in the fall when leaves are falling, because that rack just will plug every hour, I think, if we don't upsize it for the season. So not much to report at the landfill gas facility, zero change on the landfill fund we've discussed. Items not included in the final budget. We continue to put in a one-ton truck at the wastewater treatment plant. It's still operational, you know, so I think we could probably get another year or two out of it. The slip line funding and the sanitary sewer maintenance operating budget, we had that in there last year, but found that it's easier to handle projects like that potentially right now through capital projects. In fact, we're implementing a $250,000 slip line contract through capital, which allows us to get additional assistance from like engineering to help us do those types of projects. So we're pulling that out of the operating budget. Again, I spoke of the ORF tank removals. We're doing that incrementally. Same thing with the paving at Logan Street. Instead of doing it all at once, just picking away at making improvements in both of those locations. And then an interesting thing, and this will be up for discussion next week as well, is the pack and lab analysis for Microcystin is not in the budget this year, but it is being covered under the grant funding. So we'll have to consider that next year. That will be a $35,000 to $40,000 additional operating expense next year. So a quick overview of the numbers. Total operating budget is just over $6.7 million between all the funds. Again, in my opinion, we're holding the line. We're looking at very marginal increases in each budget, while also adding staff members in areas that have been identified to focus in to be able to provide better service. And although this is just the addition of all of the capital projects that Municipal Utilities manages with engineering and also with Christina, and we're at just over $19 million. So, you know, that just shows how much you guys, how much we're working towards reinvesting into our public utilities. But some of those projects, some of those dollar amounts are projects that are almost done, but it is the total original. So as some fall off, more will add on, and you know, we're looking at probably fairly consistently maintaining anywhere between $15 and $20 million in capital projects on a year-to-year basis. So it's a lot going on, and I'm glad I put this in last year, because it was kind of neat to look at this year, and I'll just go through it pretty quick, but I was pretty excited to kind of read through it. So last year we talked about coming in under budget for each budget line and be fiscally responsible, and we're tracking really well. We've got a couple tight budgets, like I said, with the sewer maintenance, with the changing of the guards, and having a few older, not older, but more seasoned folks that have been in the system longer.
Catch.
Yeah. Sorry. So we're tracking well there. I should have just said that. And then our commissioning of the hydro, we were wanting to be up and running by the end of the summer, but we did. We got there December, but it happened. So check mark done. Implement the treatment upgrade and be 100% prepared for the harmful blue-green algae bloom. We did that collectively. Wanted to close out a $3.4 million project at the lower pump station water filtration plant. That's mostly my fault why there's a little red X there. I still have plans to spend just a little bit more money on that project before we close that out. Christina's on me for that, so that'll happen maybe even this year. We might be able to get rid of that red X. Operate Mill Street Hydro at or above operating debt service costs. That was, extremely difficult this year under the circumstances of what we had going on in the river already, managing multiple projects downstream of the state dam, coupled with a few just, huge storm events where we were just, had to just get rid of water as quickly as we could, as much as we could. So with the addition of North Division Street, already looking at some of our monthly revenues in the power utility fund, I'm very hopeful that we'll be able to certainly break even, if not even turn a little bit of money back into the PUF to help pay off general fund and some of the landfill to gas energy debt service. So we wanted to identify and prioritize wastewater treatment projects, some major projects. We did that. We've got UV up and run. We're in the middle of UV, and we'll continue to do that as the plant ages and doesn't get any younger. We wanted to begin to implement the SCADA upgrades. That's in the process. We have a firm hired right now. They're in the process of going through all of our facilities and identifying the exact equipment that we need to purchase. So we're well underway with that project. We wanted to implement the GIS asset inventory project. That's 99% of the way there. So we'll be done with that this year. Check. Identify, prioritize, and begin to replace wholesale sewer and water meters. We've identified, we're in the process of prioritizing, and we'll be seeing some progress here on replacing some of them here this spring. So check on that one. Settle the wholesale sewer intermunicipal agreements. That was a huge effort from multiple city staff members. Stacy spent a ton of time on that project. That was a nice check mark to put up on the board. We're still working through the rates on the water, wholesale water, so we didn't quite get to that one. We did, however, with the help of engineering, abandon a pump station, which are notoriously just a pain in everybody's side for maintenance. So that was a great check mark to get off the list. And we'll be doing restoration on Allen Street here this spring. And it just, as always, continuing to look and apply for funding opportunities. So one more slide. Bear with me. I apologize. I spoke a lot faster when I practiced it. I get nervous and I slow down. Three more slides. So this is some of the paving efforts that our operating budget paid for at the lower pump station, providing good access to our facility there. A nice lay down yard for Tom Gayback and his guys to get to all their equipment, have it in a good location. We'll continue to do a little bit of work down there on buttoning that up with the lagoon project. I don't know how this got done, but we built a pole barn in the middle of the year as well with everything else that was going on, and that turned out just fantastic. A lot of help from DPW. They really showed up. I was hanging up on some trusses one afternoon as well, so it was a good collective effort. Most of the work was done by Brian and Tim Clark, though, so they did a real top-notch job on that project. And then, unfortunately, I started to put together next year's goals, and the list got bigger, longer, the text gets smaller, and this isn't even all of it. So it's going to be a busy year. We've got to finalize for HABS this year with our PAC system. We're going to be able to operate those hydro facilities top-notch, in my opinion, this year. Stay on budget. Close out that $3.4 million project before Christina really lays into me. We've got the $2.5 million North Street Water Main Project, so that's out to bid right now. That'll be constructed over this year, so stay tuned for delays on North Street. Skate upgrades will be really close to being completed this time next year. I can't wait for that to happen. That's certainly much needed, and that's going to touch all of municipal utilities and maybe even City Hall, with the inclusion of some smart TVs and potential to link our facilities to remote locations for monitoring. So that's a neat project. With a little bit of luck here and some work with the DEC, we'll be out to bid with the lagoon dredging project here in the next few weeks. So we got to get that reinstated this year so that we can properly treat effluent that comes as a byproduct off of our water filtration plant facility. We've already got the RFP out on the street for the UV project, so we're looking to hire a firm here early spring and be well into design, done with design, and probably out to bid and in construction this time next year. Obviously, the water GIS project will be finished up, and will be well underway into the sewer GIS project. We'll be replacing wholesale sewer and water meters. We'll have completed $250,000 in slip line contracts citywide with the help of our engineering department. Continue to apply for funding opportunities, and this will be a little bit newer for me, but we'll be working really closely with the county and other agencies to really try to hone in on some watershed improvement projects throughout the county and other counties as well. And then this is another project that I've been involved with, and I'm hopeful we'll continue to move forward positively with good traction as the watershed rules and regulations. That's going to be, that's a wholesale sewer contract type of project. It's, it's time, it's people, it's painstaking, but we're moving forward with it in close coordination with the county and town of Owasco, and I'm, pleased with the group that we have working on that right now. Hopefully we'll be implementing or be completing some design projects to have some shovel-ready projects for some of the clean water revolving fund opportunities that are out there, and aligning ourselves for future funding potential at our filtration plant as well as our wastewater treatment plant. And this one I threw in here, and I don't know how many places. I think most of municipal utilities have to think this way and be this way, and we have a team that is this way, so we're lucky. It's just with the ever-changing climate, with everything that you just never know, you can plan as much as you want. Like at the wastewater treatment plant this year, we we're planning on doing a certain thing, and then all of a sudden a buckle of concrete popped up, and we had to act. We had to get contractors in and get it taken care of in a week or two before it really screwed up our operations. So figuring out a way to remain nimble, making sure that our operation budgets are funded well enough so that we can be nimble and not have to turn it into some sort of a very lengthy, difficult process is very, very important to me. And I think to the whole group that represents municipal utilities. So I thought I'd throw that in there, and we'll paint some hydrants too. So any questions? Yeah.
General comment and just a couple of small questions. First off, I mean, you had a couple red X's in there, and that just goes to show your commitment to, your commitment to excellence and trying to have what has proven to be a very effective team at municipal utilities do a great job. And I think you're too hard on yourself having those red X's on there, but I think it just shows that you aspire to
we'll get them really this year. Goals. We'll get them this year.
And again, it's you're being very, I guess, just realistic and knowing what's ahead. And I'm glad that you have set more goals for yourself, setting the bar even higher this year, and what you've accomplished with the HAB crisis this year, what you guys have been able to do with the updated PAC system, with North Division Street. I know you've been commended several times, you and your team, I can't say it enough that we're really lucky to have you guys working for the people of Auburn.
Thank you.
And a couple questions for
John.
Most likely you, Seth. Okay. So one is, the first one is Mr. Lupien in his budget presentation last week talked about an engineer position. Is that the position you were talking about tonight, or is that something else, or is that in his own?
That's completely different. Yeah,
it's completely different.
Yeah, this is a high level engineering position.
The director.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's something else. The software program that we saw the presentation for a few weeks ago is for the people of Auburn, if they so choose to have real time, it's more of a service for them to have real time access to their water usage.
That's correct.
So, okay.
Yeah.
And lastly,
yeah.
I said there were short questions.
No, that's fine.
Lastly, you mentioned that the PAC, I guess, testing or the...
Oh, and the microsystem sampling, yeah.
So this year it will be paid for with grant funding.
That's correct.
And it's about a $30,000 to $45,000 lab analysis work.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what we spent on chemicals last year for just the powder activated carbon. I think it was in the $25,000 range, maybe. And then the sampling, based on about $150 a sample, comes out to be anywhere between $10,000 and $15,000 just in sampling.
Okay. And so in the future, because if this is something that we're going to be
faced with every year.
In the, I guess, the methodology that has been developed for the city of Auburn to provide clean water to ourselves and the surrounding towns.
Yep.
Does that methodology include the kind of extra work and such as this that we would have to pay for to ensure that we're providing clean water? Would that methodology include
this kind of work? Yes, it's the sampling is in lieu of what the health department did a few years ago. For the last 2 years, they're running samples twice a day, two to three times a week, depending on where we were in the season, to ensure public's was properly notified, properly safe against the microcystin. And we're going to be coordinating and doing that this year. I think the short answer to your question is yes.
Yes, because it's our obligation to make sure that we're providing.
That's correct.
Clean water to the people that buy.
That's right.
So, I just want to make sure that we're, thinking long term, and that because, this is a. The HAB crisis is something that we as a city and as a community are taking very seriously, and I think it's important that we set up these safeguards, these mechanisms, that we're testing and making sure that.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things happening right now with the health department kind of pulling back on providing the Wadsworth lab support. So other water purveyors, larger water purveyors in our region, have been looking into doing their own testing and developing and getting certified by the health department to do the ELISA test, is what Wadsworth was doing for us. We're going to look into it to a certain extent, but I'm not sure if we'll have the in-house capacity to do that, especially if a neighbor picks it up. It'd be probably just as effective to drive samples 20 miles down the road to somebody a couple times a week, three times a week, however often we need to do it to ensure public's safety.
It's the turnaround, really, that's the health department was sending it, so it took a day or two, right?
And that will continue. The nature of the test, it just takes a day. Yeah, it takes.
Even if we have it closer?
It might take, yeah, a little bit less, but the whole process, it's like a freeze-thaw.
Depending on what time you got it there, you might be able to get the same day.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. I think what you just said, and if I understood you correctly, is that it may not make sense for us to do our own testing.
Maybe. We haven't ruled that out yet, but we don't have to fully commit yet. I think we're in a good space right now because we have the state funding to provide us with the sampling for next year. We'll see how all the other communities react and see how things shuffle out. We're looking at folks like the Finger Lakes Institute, who is going through the process of certification. John West is going to be reaching out to them in the next day or two, if he didn't already today, to try to find a close partner, neighbor, that can assist instead of having to mail them out to, like, Columbus, Ohio.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. The monitoring software, I think you mentioned $25,000 cost, and as we had talked about a couple weeks ago, charging a one-time fee to offset those costs. You mentioned $25 to $50. Will you have an idea of what that break-even point will be before we have to decide on the budget?
I can. Yeah, that's easy enough. Yep, absolutely.
The position of technical director of capital projects, I think it makes sense, overseeing these immense projects that are continuing to go on. And as you mentioned, there are a number of projects that will be coming up in the future. And then I assume the back end, all the paperwork, filing with the state and the federal government, will that person oversee that as well?
Yeah, it's quite possible. I have not really committed to a job description at this point because I wanted to kind of wait on making sure that I knew it was something that was going to happen. But right now we have a tremendous need in our Federal Energy Regulatory Commission reporting for our hydro facilities. There's a big technical role to be filled there, for sure. We're going to have a big need at our wastewater treatment plant with environmental compliance. We've got a great team right now, but 5 years from now, that team's going to look a lot different. So, having somebody in now to capture a lot of that knowledge and that understanding of what it takes to stay compliant with our speedies permit and understanding what the state wants to move municipalities into the future, especially us being a CSO community, is really important. So I think some assistance on that level, as well as even plant systems optimizations and looking at different getting into the nitty-gritty of operating a facility. So, I see a lot of different, benefits that you could pull. And I see benefits and drawbacks to saying, okay, I want an engineer. But then sometimes you might miss out on like a Christina Selvick type of personality, not to say that she'd move, but just to say that, she doesn't have that technical background in engineering, but boy, what a project deliverer and a grant writer and an ability to see through and manage some high level projects. So that'll be a little bit of a challenge for me because I see the benefit in so many different avenues and backgrounds, but there's enough going on with the 20. $6 million in budget to keep somebody else pretty busy.
And my last question is kind of a two-part question. You talked about settling the contracts for the water and sewer rates with the surrounding municipalities and the methodology for that and the process that was. Yeah. And then we're talking about increased costs, increased requirements, increased regulations. Will we have to change that methodology to make sure that everybody's paying equally for that?
So the methodology doesn't need to change, but the reboot, the hard sit down, the go through the cost analysis every three years is really important, because a lot can change. You know, Cuga Melt could go away, or another Cuga Melt could move in. If that happens, that's a game changer when it comes to wholesale rates, and potentially city rates that. Rates as a in general. So the way we wrote that methodology was, so if there was an abrupt change in usage one way or another, we could sit down and recalculate. There was capital forecast, capital costs built into the rate, which we're following very closely right now. So all that will have to get rebooted, and I think 2020. Is it? Do you remember? I put you on the spot.
The new contract, we actually have to sit down, I think, in the next month. We have two meetings a year, and one of them is a financial meeting. So, and then we'll be meeting again in 3 years after that, every 3 years.
For the actual hard reboot, right? Mm-hmm. For the full recalculation and potential adjustment. Yeah.
Thank you.
Set.
Yep.
Set. Everyone. Many years ago, you probably weren't even born, when the city was under a consent order to separate our sewers.
Yep.
To best of my knowledge, we comply with the consent order, but we never finished it.
That's correct.
So between yourself and our city manager, later on this summer, after we get the budget put to bed for the year,
mm-hmm.
can we get a brief overview of where we stand with the sewer separation? I understand the benefits of it, but financially, I don't want you to spend a lot of time.
Nope, that's fine.
With this presentation, but what would it mean? Because one thing caught my eye, the sublining for the inflow, for the INI.
Yep.
How is it, the way I understand it with the INI, it costs us a lot of money in treatment that may not be necessary.
Yep.
So I guess I'm looking kind of like at a just a real brief cost analysis, whether we should be looking at it, should we be looking at federal money to complete this, or a timeline?
There's no doubt. Absolutely, 110%. Yeah, I'd be happy to put a presentation together on that.
Don't spend a lot of time on it, because I don't know.
I'm going to. Because that is extremely important to me. Part of what we're doing with the mapping right now is to really hone in on that and prioritize and get ourselves in a great position to leverage for some substantial funding in the future. Maybe we can get the cart ahead of the horse, because, like you said, some were designed and just never completed. We have fully designed separation plans up in engineering that never got implemented because of cost. So shovel ready, almost, right?
Yeah.
So.
You always tell how smart I am, because I think like you, Seth, so thank you.
Oh, yeah, all right.
All set, counsel? Thank you.
Thank you. Seth. Thank you.
All of you. Thank you. You know, going down to the floor?
Oh, yeah.
Next, we have Office of Planning, Economic Development, Code Enforcement by our acting city manager, Director of Planning and Economic Development, Jenny Ains.
Good evening. Thank you, Mayor and Council, for having us here tonight, giving us the opportunity to step through our budgets and just give you and the public a greater understanding of what the departments need to operate most efficiently and effectively. Wanted to say thank you to Jeff Dagger and Laura Wills, who have done a fantastic job putting this budget together, And I want to say that we understand the context in which we're making these requests. We understand the council has to make some decisions. We respect that and the adjustments that have been made to the budget that is in front of you. Wanted to say a big thank you to Stephen Selvick, who is here with me tonight, Deputy Director of Community Planning and Development. He always provides valuable assistance in putting the budget together and all things in the planning office. And Brian Hicks is here, too. He's out there. does a great job for us as Senior Code Enforcement Officer in the Code Enforcement Office. So thanks to both of those guys and my whole staff. In the interest of time, I'll just do a quick highlight of our major focus areas. This is in your presentation packet. Planning and zoning, capital projects and grants. And in both of these areas, just a quick note, our project management duties in these areas are really intense. We have a lot of projects that we're working on. The Equal Rights Heritage Center is being managed out of our office. Owasco River Trail project. Moving on to community development, we have multiple parks and playground projects. Casey Park Playground project is being managed out of our office as well. Our staff is doing a fantastic job with this, but it's a lot of work and a lot of time into those projects, which we're really excited about. We also provide support across the organization in different areas. On the code enforcement side, permitting and inspection, code enforcement, code violations, inspections, property maintenance, complaints, all sorts of things. We serve a multiple range of people, internal customers, of course, city residents first, our staff, developers, businesses, board members, lots of different state and federal agencies and partners that we work with. Now to our numbers. Our budget this year, $603,998, we are tracking very well on that, just a little bit under 75% expenditure. We have 6 full-time equivalent employees in the office. A big thank you to the council for providing us with a planning assistant. She's been with us for about a month and has just been providing great support to our staff. Looking at next year, you can see our budget is down. The city manager presented his budget last week. The capital director of capital projects and grants, Christina Selvick, he's proposing to move to his department. So you're seeing the decrease in the planning office budget to accommodate that move and the decrease in our full-time equivalents. Code enforcement, last year's budget, again, tracking well, about 72% expended so far, and we're anticipating to stay right on track with our budget. A decrease of 3.2% proposed for next year and an increase in full-time equivalents. How are we doing that? One of the things that I'll talk about in this next slide is we are proposing to eliminate our trash, grass, and snow contracts. We have about $62,000 in this year's budget for those. And talking with the city manager, he'd like to try creating 2 part-time labor positions and doing that work in-house. I'm really excited about that opportunity, especially because we can do it for only about $32,500 instead of $62,000. We also have some in our budget for some purchase of equipment. And in fact, on your agenda next week, as part of the budget transfer that Seth talked about, there will be a couple transfers in there for code enforcement. We would like to get this moving in this fiscal year. We do have some money in our services line where we could work on getting these 2 positions hired now and even purchase some equipment that they would need to do that. So we'll talk about that next week, but we also have this in our proposal for the coming year.
Ms. Haynes?
Yes.
Currently, when we call the private contractor, I believe we're charging $180 the first hour, and then mm-hmm. Is there discussion or has there been discussion or about altering those fees if we're going to handle it in-house?
We could. That would be part of the fee schedule, and of course that's always up for discussion. Are you interested in decreasing the fees?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I mean, if it's a private contractor and they're charging a fee, the fee is what the fee is. you know, does it have to be $180 an hour? What would be the break-even point for us?
I can get you that. Other questions on this piece? Again, we'll talk more about that as part of the budget transfer if you'd like next week as well. There are some things that are not included in the final budget that's in front of you. I know you'd be disappointed if the planning office didn't bring something pretty. So this is on your tables. You saw this last year. We have requested funds in the last couple of budget years for a public art plan. As you know, last year, Christina Selvik got really creative and was able to include funding as part of our Auburn Sparks project to do some work. As we moved it forward, we realized that the first thing we needed was a public arts ordinance. So as you know, we went through that process, and the council adopted that in December of 2017. And just last month, the Public Art Commission that was recommended as part of that was established. So staff is recommending that the commission's first priority be the development of the public art plan. Some preliminary guidance for that is outlined in the document that's in front of you. Part of the public art plan would include establishing an arts district. And there was an article recently that you may have seen, which talked about a $100,000 grant award to Central New York Arts through Empire State Development. That includes Auburn as part of that and establishing an arts district. And right now, Jesse Klein and Donna Lamb, who are members of the city's public art subcommittee, are following up on that opportunity for us. So stay tuned on that. We might be able to get some of it done that way. The second thing that is not included in the budget is uniform park signage. You saw this in our budget request last year, too. This is a recommendation in the parks master plan. We just want to make sure that we're continuing to keep these projects fresh in the minds of the council and ourselves so that we potentially could try to move that forward. We've been developing a lot of public spaces. We've done a lot of parks and playground work, as you know. We've worked on Osborne Park, Benton Street Playground, Lincoln Park, Clifford Park, St. Francis Park, Columbian Playground, Casey Park Playground, and of course, the Equal Rights Heritage Center. We would love to have all of these spaces have uniform signage. The funding that would be utilized for this would be to work with a consultant in the development of the park signage. We would refer to the Cayuga County Wayfinding Plan, which was completed a few years ago. And in fact, last year when we were going through the public input process for the Equal Rights Heritage Center, we actually received a comment on the Welcome Center page talking about uniform wayfinding signage. So on this one, of course, we will continue to look for alternative funding sources. We learned about a program called Design Connect, which is a student-run community design and planning organization at Cornell University. And we will take a look at that and see if that's worthwhile to pursue. Last thing, we have had a summer intern in our office for the last few years. Really valuable assistance to us, especially this last summer as we were working on trying to get our CD community development block grant projects out the door. She provided a great amount of assistance with procurement and compliance, really tedious work that had to be done that allowed our senior staff to move the projects forward more efficiently. This funding would be fully reimbursed with community development block grant funds. The intern would be working solely on CDBG projects this summer, so we are hoping that that can be added back in the budget as a fully reimbursable item. On to code enforcement. As you know, our code enforcement officers, one of the most valuable resources that the city provides is their vehicles. Their work is mostly out of the office, and they need to get to where they need to get to for their inspections. Of course, the office gratefully receives the Auburn Police Department's vehicles after they are utilized by the officers. We did receive two vehicles from the police department this year, which is fantastic. One of the things that we have found, however, with those vehicles is that sometimes the repair costs are a bit high when we do get them. One of the new vehicles required, new to us vehicles, required about $1,100 in repairs before our officer could use it. Our vehicle maintenance and repair budget is running over. We did have to do a transfer into that. So that's just kind of shows that we struggle a bit. And in fact, Brian was in training this week, and his car was in the shop to be repaired. So we do try to schedule that so that we can make it work. We do have two vehicles proposed in the budget. We had to take one car out of service this year. We had a $2,500 estimate for repairs. The car was only worth $2,000. So one of our people is driving a borrowed DPW vehicle right now, which they need back in May. So we limp along, do our best, but we really, as we talked about last year, have the philosophy that if we are able to assign an officer a vehicle, it's a really light-use vehicle compared to some of the other departments, and they would last a long time. So we're continuing to propose that. That number is two vehicles on state contract. Housing code update. We've talked about this for a long, long time. It's needed, as many code updates are, for the city. Usually one of the first things we need to look at in balancing the budget, so we understand why that needed to happen. Demolition funding, this has been reduced to $50,000 from our original request. Really interesting that the fire happened today and that I'm talking about demolition funds tonight. The demolition for 37 Sheridan Street will potentially take the balance of what's left in the code enforcement budget. Of course, we will attempt to get that money back by whatever means we can. But we do have other demolitions that code enforcement has identified that we would like to pursue next year as well.